We're going to read a familiar passage of Scripture. We'll read verse 38 down through verse number 40. And then we'll skip over to verse 48, read down a few verses there. These last three services, we've been talking about making room for some things. Making room for what you have in Christ. Those great treasures that have been sung about this week, that are ours. And I truly believe what worship is all the folks of the kingdom coming together and sharing their treasures, talking about their treasures. Seems like it one day one part of the treasure that's in Christ will be more real to you than another part. But don't you like to testify about your treasures? Well, we've got them in Christ. It's not so much what we're going to get, but it's what we've already got that will sustain us. And then we came back and preached on this matter of making room for God. The ironic thing is, the prophet, when the woman came to him, didn't give her anything. She already had it. And when the Lord came to Abraham's meeting, he didn't bring anything, because Abraham already had it. God has already given us all we need to live this Christian life in this world. Amen. If we'll just appropriate it. But tonight I want to move further and I want to preach on this thought, making room for your gift. Making room for your gift. I truly believe that if God does anything through you, He'll do it through those gifts that He has enabled you with. Paul told Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Peter said, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Paul spoke again, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God." I believe every child of God is given gifts by God to be used for the kingdom's sake. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. And as we all know, every part of this body has an ability that God has given it to minister to the body. And if that body is going to operate in the fullest sense, all of those parts of the body must also operate, must also do their part, functioning as a body. And as we come together as children of God, it's so important that your gift operates and my gift operates. And in so doing, we can all minister one to another to the glory of God. Now I'm going to read down through here, and I want to say to you that Goliath is not the biggest thing in this text. It is a small stone that David uses to exercise the gift that he has that determines the whole outcome and even reaches down to this day, affecting our lives. Because how would it have turned out if he hadn't reached in and got the stone. But it's where he put it that emphasizes him making room. You're going to have to make room. You're going to have to make time, margin, for the exercising of your gift. Now let's look at it. I'll emphasize it as we read. And Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword, Saul's sword, upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. He said, "This just does not feel like me." My answer to this is, if this armor is so good, why didn't Saul use it? And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I'm not proved them." And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, now here's my text, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now think for a moment, and we'll read on. David is going to be used to kill the giant. But the important thing is that he has a bag. He has what is called a scrip. And when he reaches into that water to get those 5 smooth stones, there's only one place to put them. That's what that bag is for. And thank God that bag is not full of snacks. It's not full of other things, berries and acorns. Because if it is, he's not going to have room for what is going to engage his gift. He's going to have to leave room for his gift. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He has left space for his gift. And he drew near to the Philistine. Look in verse number 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He's got confidence because he knows what he's got, because he put it there. And David put his hand in the bag. I'm glad he said, didn't say, "Whoops, that's a blueberry. I'm going to move that around. I got to find that. I need to get to that stone." And he took thence a stone. Why? Because that's all's in there. What a time and place to be and not have had room for your gift. And he slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, because he had room for it. Smote the Philistine, slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. I'm interested in how David brings together this pouch, this sling, and a stone. They all three must come together if he's going to succeed. But they will none come together if he has not made room for his gift. Now, there's simply three things that I want to suggest unto you concerning, or magnify it more, this matter of making room for what God has enabled you to do. How important it is. The first thing that I would say to you, in that David has made room in that pouch for his gift. He has made room for that which is holy. Boy, this leaped out at me as I meditated on it. Because on so many occasions, I think it is quite common that we somehow categorize our gifts. The things that we do, some things we put over here on the holy list. And the other things we just put on the common list, not that they're unholy. But I want to suggest to you, as the scripture said, everything that we do, we are to do to the glory of God. Everything. Which simply says that if you're doing it for the Lord and His glory, it's holy. I don't care what it is. Every step that Jesus took was a holy step. He didn't have to be preaching and raising the dead. If He was sleeping, it was a holy sleep. So it is with David. We know that throwing rocks was not the only gift he had. He was a writer of the Psalms. He could play a harp. Yes. And we put this matter of writing Psalms on that elevated list of something that is spiritual. That was spiritual. David, and wouldn't you love to have written the 23rd Psalm? That is spiritual. But when we look at him throwing rocks, we just think, well, that's just everyday natural things. But I'm going to tell you something. Him giving himself to the throwing of these stones in preparation was just as important and holy as the writing of the 23rd Psalm. Because if he had not done the one, he could have never have done the other. And this is the burden of my heart. You don't have to be singing in a church. You don't have to be on your knees in prayer, though that is part of it. This is something I want you to see. You don't even have to be reading your Bible to be doing something holy. If you're doing it for the glory of God and He's enabled you to do that, understand that is holy. All of our actions can be holiness unto the Lord. He reaches down and he grabs the stones. He fills that pouch up and he throws that rock, that stone. And I want you to know that was an act of which God was very, 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 very pleased with. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't have had him doing anything else. That's not the time for a psalm. That's the time to use your gift of throwing the rock. here's the thing that I appreciate as I go in from church to church to church. They often look at me. They often look at the pastor. They often look at the song leader. And they see us as the spiritual ones. And they say, oh, that's, and they feel this way, I'm sure. Boy, it's just something how that they are doing things that are spiritual. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're on the job and you are a plumber, and you're doing that to the glory of God, it's just as spiritual as what I'm doing right now. And you will engage in those things that you must do in life. But you're doing them because of the kingdom's sake. And then you will take a portion of that of which he asks you to do, and you will give it in the ministry of spreading the gospel. I've come to say thank you for what you do out there. Thank you for your cooking ladies. Thank you for your cleaning ladies. Thank you for whoever mows this yard and cleans this church. Thank you. Don't think that God feels less. As a matter of fact, I feel as though it's the unseen that are doing the everyday living for the glory of God that's going to be far ahead of us who are the seen. Now, I'm sure his brothers didn't think much of him throwing rocks. But oh, how God used that gift. It was, I say to you, in that he does, he uses, he exercises, he makes room for his gift. He's making room for that that is holy. He does not categorize, put one here and the other there. But oh, I'm going to tell you, he's doing it for the Lord. And if you do it for the Lord, as whatsoever you do it heartily, the Bible said, unto the Lord. It is holy. 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 Plumber, carpenter, electrician, whatever it is that you do in the course of a day, make it holy unto God. And he will use that as much as he's using what I'm doing right now, because there is a place for that. Do not feel as though you don't count or that you're less and it really doesn't make any difference, because if you do, you won't give your all to that. I say to you that this rock throwing that David does is just as sanctified unto the Lord as his writing of the 23rd Psalm. It is holy. It is holy. Making room for whatever God has in. And I'm going to tell you something. Well, let me say this in humor. Somebody this week's going to stand before God for all this food I've eaten. I mean, look, yeah. I went to Brother Allen's, and I'm borrowing a phrase of a great philosopher, to eat a child's portion. He got hot. He pulled a gun on me. He said, no, you'll eat her less, else. I thought about calling the law. I said, well, I'll wait until after dessert. Dessert's so good, I forgot about it. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I really sense in my heart. When there is a sister that has slaved in that kitchen or whoever it is, and they have cooked, I'm going to tell you, I sense a holiness about that. There was a heavenliness about that family there in 2 Kings chapter number 4 and chapter number 6, chapter number 8, that built that little prophet's chamber for the man of God as he came by. That was holy unto the Lord. I had people that came by this week working on my electricity. I'm telling you, I sensed a pleasing. I was saying, thank you, Lord, that there are people here that have gifts to do things that are physical that I can't do, but they're as pleasing to you as what I'm doing. Brother Allen sings and leads his singing, or has until he's had this back trouble and so on, but I'm going to tell you something. I never heard a song he ever sang that blessed me any more than him to take out time to come by my place and use his gift where I couldn't. Oh, thank you for what you do for the Lord. Thank you for that cooking. Thank you for that giving. Thank you. Thank you for that praying. Thank you for the exercising of all you are, not just parts. Portions, and realizing how important that is in the kingdom of heaven. If David can't throw a rock, we're in trouble. But oh, he is dedicated to that gift. Oh, thank God he could play the harp. Thank God he could write many of the psalms. Thank God he had enough within him to know that he had to leave some space and room for the gift that God gave him that he could do. Amen. It may not be an impressive gift. It's not one that, his brothers and them are talking about and all that other stuff, but it makes no difference how small it may seem. When God uses it, it becomes mighty and powerful. And aren't you grateful for all the things that folks have done for you out of love that you couldn't have done for yourself? It's holy. It's holy. The second thing I would point out to you is I noticed in this text that in that David makes room for his gift, taking those stones and putting them in that sack, that pouch, that script. He is making room for that which is him. That's who he is. David is a rock thrower. It fit him. It was in sync with all that God wanted to do in his life for that moment. It complemented him. It completed him. Just the reaching in and get those stones and putting them in that pouch, put everything together. It was a match. It was who he was as a young lad. It's where he's been. He's been on the backsides of the Judean hills, and while he's up there, he's a whizzing them stones through the trees. No doubt they asked the family, said, What's Dave do up there all day long? But I says, well, I don't know, but let him know you're coming, because I'm going to tell you something, you're liable to get hit in the head. Oh, I know God. I know God was in the providence of where that stone hit. But David didn't just get, he wasn't lucky. He had spent hours on end making sure that he could hit a target. And when he went down and confronted that giant, it all come to him. Oh, yeah, now I know why I've been doing this. He had picked up stone after stone and after stone after stone and to find the right kind of stone. And now he reaches down in there and he finds five of them. Somebody said, why? Well, go on over there. First Kings, you'll find out he had four brothers. He's going to take care of the whole outfit. It's there. It lists them. The son of the giant. But it's him. Oh, if you ever find out who you are, it'll keep you from being so awkward in being what you are not. Have you ever tried to do something and you want to be good at it and figured out you just couldn't do it? It just wasn't you. Thank God I found that out years ago in golf. Preachers that play golf, they always say, "You want to go play golf?" I said, "Well, you don't want me to, I'll tell you that. If I'm hitting your balls, I'm going to hit them all everywhere. There ain't going to be none left by the end of the day." Brother Bob White up in Michigan is a great, great man of God, and he used to love to golf, and he'd have me go. So he showed me how to do it. He meticulously took time. "Brother Danny, you tee it up right here. Now you got to stand with your body like this, and you go, when you turn," all these things that are confusing. Showed me how it was, and I stepped up there, and buddy, I drew back, and I hit that ball. And he said, "Brother Dane, with a swing like that, ain't no reason why you wouldn't be great in badminton." I knew it wasn't for me. That's just some, I've been around people that tried to preach, and you could just tell there wasn't no preach there. There wasn't nothing there. I've been around people that sang, and it's the good thing about singing, you can sing unto the Lord. But I mean, not everybody's got the gift to minister in song to other people's, and as I say.
Yes.
A lot of things. But thank God, I guarantee you there are some things that God has enabled you to do that others cannot do. And when you do it, it looks right. It looks right. Brother, when David went over, when he threw that stone, this wasn't luck. He's very confident, and I know God determined where it's going to hit. But he knew he didn't run out there like he did, thinking he might miss. He'd thrown 10,000 of them, and he knew he could hit the spot, because he had made room for what God had enabled him to do. That was him. I love to be around those folks who have found out what God wants them to do, what God has gifted them to do, what God has enabled them to do, and they do it. They do it. Now there's so much about his gift that was hidden and secret. And that's the amazing thing. Don't you love the surprises of God as to where his deliverance is going to come from? From the least of circumstances and situations? I mean, the stones are in that brook, hidden to the eyes of others. They're not even looking for it. Five smooth stones that God has honed out. Who knows how long it took to get a stone like that. But David knew when he reached in there, he said, "Man, this is good. I've hit the jackpot. How in the world? I found one here and one there, but I got five hidden." Oh, he was a secret to everybody. Hidden. His brothers were surprised. Were they not? Saul was surprised. He tells him so. He said, you're a man, young man. He's been a warrior since his youth. The whole Philistine army was surprised. And I'll tell you who got the biggest surprise. "Oh, you coming out here with a sword and a staff and all that other stuff like you? What am I, a dog?" David's thinking, "Oh boy, you got no clue what's coming your way." He's got that. God has honed these stones for David, but David has honed himself for the stones so that they become a perfect match. Oh, when they got together, honey, I want you to know things are going to happen. Because his gift is what he is. Your gift is what you are. Now, my preaching may not be worth the water, and I'll pay for it after the service. But I'm going to tell you this much. I know what my gift is, and I'm doing it. Now, I can piddle around some things, but I know that that's not who I am. But oh, when God lets you know, and he desires to let you know, that he has given you something that he can use for his glory. His gift is holy. His gift is him. Now, I told you this years ago, but I reckon. I'm going to tell you again about the old boy. Did I tell you about the fellow that could play the guitar so great in Mississippi, and he practiced it all up through his teen years, but he couldn't get it? He couldn't get the cadence. He couldn't get the chords, but he practiced it every day. I heard him testify on, and I asked him about it on two other occasions. Make sure I was right. He said, I so wanted to play that thing for the Lord, but he said, all those hours, it seemed as though it meant nothing. So he said one night, he took that guitar and laid it on the bed and got on his knees and prayed and said, Lord, I'd love to play this for you if you want me to, but what you know is I've tried and tried and tried, and if you don't want me to, that'll be fine. He said, I laid the guitar up against the wall. Brother Cody's his name. Not too old now, in his 30s, I guess. He said, the next morning when I woke up, he said, I looked straight at that guitar, and he said, I got up and went over and picked it up, and he said, now, I heard him testify this, and he said to me, he said, Brother Dana, everything I ever practiced came to me. And I'm going to tell you, the old boy, he don't need a capo. I mean, he ain't got three chords in him. He can walk all over that thing. I love it. I can't play nothing. So I went home and got my guitar. I laid it on the bed. I said, Lord, he said, forget it. Get up. That's. It just ain't me. Matter of fact, Esther wants me to learn to play salon. She paid a fella for lessons for me. I didn't go to the class. It just weren't in me. Notice this gift. It is a gift that is holy. It is a gift that was him. Special, special, special. But the last thing I would say to you is that this gift of David, as he gets those stones and he left room in the pouch, this gift is not only holy, it is not only him, but it is huge. It is huge. Read in the text, verse 49, put his hand in the bag. Thank God he knew what was in there. Took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. Now, how big is that? It's huge. It's huge. His gift is huge. As he uses this small stone, it's huge in his life. Proverbs 17:8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Wheresoever it turneth, he turneth it prospereth. It protected him. I'm going to tell you something. If he hadn't had room for those stones, that giant would have made mincemeat of him. Your gift will be your protection. His gift not only protected him, his gift promoted him. He starts out throwing stones. He ends up being the king in Israel, but it all starts right here. Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. It has protected him. It has prepared him for what he's going to face in the future. It has promoted him. It is huge in his life. He was making room when he put those stones in that bag for what his future was going to be all about. But it began with a simple gift of throwing a rock. And in so doing, he didn't realize how much was going to come out of throwing a stone. It all began right here as far as making the... I know he had been anointed, and I know the oil is in on that, but what I'm saying is as far as Saul and Israel's concerned, this is what put him on the map. Exercise. Just do those simplistic gifts as if that they are important gifts on whatever level they are. You know, I preach in many churches every year. I go in some churches that are rather large. I go into some churches that are rather small. I have preached of late meetings that in churches to where there were just a handful. But I'm going to tell you something. When I go to a church with a handful, I don't go with less than what I go if there's, I don't care how many there. Because I realize that it's vital and important that in those little small situations that I do what God wants me to do to my best, and He can take care of the future out of that. Preaching up in West Virginia in a mission work, and all that week other churches in that area come and supported that mission back in a hole in those mountains. And the pastor kept, he's just a missionary pastor, he kept saying, "Now, Brother Daniel, there ain't going to be but seven here." He said, "In my mind, I've counted them, there ain't going to be but seven here Wednesday night." And you guess what? He was right. We got there, including me, there was seven. I opened up the Word of God, read my text, and started preaching, and the world blew up. I preached all around. I couldn't help it, over the pews, in the pews, under the pews. Don't think I ever preached like that before nor since. And when I got down, I said, "Now they're going to ask you how many showed up tonight. You tell them you got no clue. Because as far as I can tell, I know there's seven of us here, and we got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, how big is that? But honey, I felt like that all the hosts of heaven had come to church that night. I seen angels ascending and descending." It is a gift if you will use it to the glory of God. It's going to mean something to somebody. It is huge not only for him, but it is huge for the lives of others. Now, we know the story here that in this little valley, you've got the Philistines on one side and Israel on this side, and they've having some skirmishes. But every time that giant comes out, man, Israel, they're sitting over here all hunkered down. They don't want to mess with him. You see, the one of the qualifications for ever killing a giant is, you know what it is? You know what the first qualification for killing a giant is? You must have never seen one. Because you ever see one, that's going to be the end of it. You ain't going to mess with him. David come there, he never did see that giant. He never saw him. He had a gift that he knew was much bigger than that. It meant so much to him, it was huge for him. But what about these poor fellows sitting over here? I used to preach a message on these boys because I've given them a hard time, and other preachers have also. Well, I don't know why one of them didn't do it. How come they didn't do it? I'm going to tell you why they didn't do it. They had more sense than the average preacher. They knew God hadn't given them the power. It wasn't there. There's only one man going to kill that giant. That's why I don't like motivational preaching. It wrecks people's lives. We just try to get somebody to do something. Could you imagine? That's what Saul was doing. Go up to him and tell him that I'm going to give him a bunch of money and give him my daughter. I said, well, I got to see her first. I ain't going up there and face something like that unless I see her first. You're going to have to be real good looking for me to do that. That's what he was doing. He was trying to motivate him. How dangerous is that? Because they picked up on David. They said, oh, you mean you knew? You, I mean, he's just a kid. Motivational preaching. If you have to be motivated to do something, you probably should not do it. It ain't going to work for you or anybody else because pretty soon you'll be mad you're having to do it or scared. I mean, can you hear him over here trying to hype somebody up? Oh, we want Ralph to do it. How many of you want Ralph to do it? Hey, let's get him going. Hey, Ralph. And you get this poor innocent guy all stirred up. Oh, yeah, I'll go. No! If he gets out, get that guy and tackle him and tie him to a tree. Because the deal is, if he gets killed, we're all in trouble. No sentimental, emotional stirring up somebody to do something. He's going to have a gift.
Right.
Amen. They're sitting over there silent. Bless their hearts. And I don't blame them. I've done the same thing. I'm going to tell you something. David exercised that gift he had. It not only delivered him, but it turned them boys loose. Did you notice that?
Yes.
They said, oh, he's down. Did you see that rock? I just know he threw it because I saw, but I couldn't see the rock. He's, come on, boys, get your swords. Let's go to war. Think about it is, if you do what God has gifted you to do, you're going to unleash others because they're going to see it and they're going to say, you know what? If they're doing what they're doing for the Lord, I ought to be doing what I ought to be doing for the Lord. Which leads me to say, if nobody's doing anything around you, it's probably because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You exercise your gift with enthusiasm for the glory of God, I'm guarantee you it's going to spark in somebody else. It may be a son, it may be a daughter, a brother, a sister, or somebody.
Yes.
Brother Lester, come over there to that prison, and I guess you will listen to him preach over there, probably already saved if I heard. Somebody else has been telling me your testimony. And Brother Lester came over and exercised his gift where? In a prison. And now he's exercising his gift. Did you hear that burden he had last night for that elderly lady? This man unleashed this man. And has unleashed many of you. But simply in a little church, taking that gift and honing it, spending time with it, and unleashing it, has given liberty to so many. when you just do your little gift. God uses it in a huge way in your life and in the lives of others. I love the way this thing ends out. David throws that stone, that's all he does. But all he's thrown are many of them. I've thrown a many gospel stone. I imagine he missed a lot of times in those woods and trees and practicing and throwing that. Lord, I've missed with so many sermons, I've just left saying, that didn't hit nothing. That's why I bring my wife. Matter of fact, that's what opens most of my doors. One time I was coming down here and I called and I told Brother Lester, I said, Esther's not going to be able to come, and it got real quiet. He didn't say, well, that's okay, or whatever. And I got down here, and Brother Allen told me, he may not remember, he said, we found out Esther wouldn't come, so we took a vote on whether we was going to have the meeting or not. Said, you won by one vote. My Lord, in every church I go, I have her there sitting, because I know what she's doing is exercising her gift and meditating on the right song. How many times I have preached, and man, what a dud. And she'd get up and hit that pen and sing that right song, and God would open up that through that song, what I'd said, and folks would be hitting that altar. And I leave out so many times, I've been honest, realizing that God used her to just put the oil on it all. If it's baking a cake, if it's preaching the gospel, if it's singing a song, if it's giving, the gift of helps is my, I like that gift best of all. Whatever it is, do it with all your heart, and I promise you, God will use it in a mighty way, because that's why he gave it to you. Now, I'll close with this. When we went into evangelism, Esther would come to me after a year or two, literally crying. Because at the church, she was the pastor's wife, and she put so much into it, playing the piano, youth choir, and things of that nature. But out there, she just hadn't found her place. And she said, honey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And she would cry. And I didn't have an answer. I didn't want to just say something off the cuff, silly. I never said anything. I said, well, honey, the Lord knows. One day she was downstairs, as she does often. She has a place where she plays and sings and worships. And she came upstairs. She was crying again. But it was a different type of tear. And she said in tears of joy, honey, I found out what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. I said, what is it? She said, the Lord told me all he wanted me to do is take care of you. Woo! I said, what room is that in? Now, I didn't tell her that. The Lord did. And so often people say, I really like your tie. And I always have to say, well, you'll have to thank Esther. I mean, she does everything to cutting my hair. And then if it's sticking up, she'll lick it down. I mean, she does it all. But it's a simple heart saying, Lord, if that's what you've given me the ability to do, I'm going to do that for your glory. Amen. Mama, raising them children. Grandmama, impressing upon them children what God has in your heart. You have a spirit and a gift that others don't have. But oh, what an impact it will have. You have an impact in a major way. So I would close and say thank you, each one of you, for the gift that you are to my life. And I mean that. We are so blessed to come this way. And we realize that the lights don't just stay on and the air conditioners don't run and somebody's having to take care of that, pay for that. And that's coming out of what your gift is. And thank God for all of those special gifts of the Holy Ghost of preaching and praying and singing. And we have all of that also. But I'm saying, let's just take out all the gifts that we are and make it a gift to God and to others.